Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. You might want to follow the screen, or you might want to just follow this. Chapter 10, verse 22. Let me go back to verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, I'm going to quote this again later this morning, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, we have confidence, you got this, remember this word, confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. And then verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Lord, bless this thy word. May it really become real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've called this, it's under the blood. And I remember first using that statement. This individual that I was praying with and hoping to encourage, they just couldn't get over their loss, their sense of sin and failure that they had not had the, they didn't have victory, and they had done this, and they got drunk, and they did this, and they did that, and that, all these things happened. And I just said to them, and I'm sure it's been said 100 other times by better people, but I just said, brother, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Don't drag that thing out again. It's under the blood. And it was like a gush of truth. And I want to talk about, really in these moments, what the blood means to God. And by blood, I'm talking about the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, that blood that he shed. So what it means to him, we're always thinking what it means to us, but the reality is, what is more important here is that we would take a look and study carefully what the blood means to God. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you as we walk through this. And so in the scriptures, we have two definite pictures which demonstrate how the blood is primarily, in a secondary way a little bit, but primarily it's for the Lord. It's not for you, it's not for me, it's primarily for God. And so the book of Exodus, if you'll turn there, Exodus chapter 12, it's a wonderful Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of its raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head and its legs and its inner parts. And you shall eat none of the remains until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fashioned and the sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. For it is the Lord's Passover. And it will pass, and I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike down the land in the land of Egypt. What a story. What an amazing story. The blood will go on the doorpost and the lintel of your houses and be marked with blood. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you and it will not come near to you. How many remember that song, that old hymn, when I see the blood, I will pass over you? Oh, good, there's five of us here that are old enough. We used to sing that over and over again, the preciousness of that. And so, according to God's instruction, his order, his demand, his command. The blood was put on the lintel, the doorpost, and it was going to be a very short-lived moment because the meat of the lamb was to be eaten inside the house. Nobody saw you eat it. You ate it inside the house. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That admonition, that our protection is in the blood of Christ in a later picture. It is clear that this blood was not meant to be presented to man to be seen, to be felt, to be understood by him. It was holy for the Lord. And you might want to jot down, I don't think it's in the notes, but you might want to jot down 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, where Peter talks about the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood. It's precious. The blood was precious to God. It was, and it's holy for the Lord. By an act of faith and an act of obedience, they were to apply it to the doorposts. And all who were in the house, that was the only safe way, the only safe place, by the way. All that were in the house could safely trust. You were safe if you were in the house. If you weren't in the house, you were not safe. So all who were in the house could safely trust because the blood would mean to God exactly what he said it would mean. It was not necessary for them to understand any more about it. The sign of the blood on the door was God's. And by faith, they rested in his satisfaction, the fact that God was satisfied. It's a wonderful thing. He's not satisfied by what you have done. He's satisfied by what his son has done and the power of the blood. You know how we think oftentimes that we have to understand something. It wasn't necessary that they understood. Can you imagine, say, could you explain to us why we're going to go out with, the, you know, out of, all of us are leaving here? Could you kind of explain that? No? Why are we putting the blood? It's not necessary for you to know. You're just to believe it. And that's the same when we have communion. We don't have to know it all about. All we need to know is God instructs us. He instructs us to take it and to participate in it. And so by faith, they rested in God's satisfaction. That's our job. Many of the things, matter of fact, I would say for most of the things that I hold precious, I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I don't even get it. I don't even know why God would do that or how he would do it. All I know, I'm going to be obedient to the scriptures. And so it was not necessary for them to understand. Just do it. An odd request, right? Putting blood on the door. Does that make sense? Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. It made sense to God. And God says, I want you to do that. And it's precious in his sight. Well, there's another story. And that's, or another picture, not a story, but another picture in Leviticus and chapter 16. I'm not going to read it all because it's quite a hefty passage. But in verse 14, chapter 16, verse 14, it talks about the Day of Atonement. The one was coming out of Egypt. Now this is another event, another picture. You'll kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkled it over the mercy seat in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. Now, you drop down to verse 17, he shall make atonement. Verse 18, make atonement. And verse 19, he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it and on his fingers seven times. Now, why seven times? We're not told. You have to accept that by faith. That somehow, that's what God said it would be, and we accept it and we believe it. So verse 19, sprinkle some of it with the finger seven times. And then chapter 16, the next verse, all the way down to verse 29 and to verse 31. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you, and you shall be clean before the Lord and all your sins. It is the Day of Atonement. I told you this several times, but it's such a worthwhile moment. We were going down, for those who didn't hear this, we were a bunch of us, pastors, there was a bunch of us in this vehicle, and we were going down to near Seattle, not quite to Seattle, but near Seattle. So we were crossing the Canadian-U.S. border, but just before we crossed, the driver of our car said, well, okay, let's get it straight. Let's get our story straight. We're going into the States. What's our story? We're a group of pastors. We're going in the States, okay? We're going for the day. Going down to visit our friend Gary. Are we all clear? Don't have another story. So we were very prepared to, in case this, it asked what we're doing. Because that's asked what we were. We were all pastors and wives. And so we cross, and the customs man says, where are you going? Just near Seattle. Oh, what are you doing there? Going to meet our friend. What friend would that be? Just friend. We're now we're getting nervous, right? We don't lie well. Say, well, we're just going down. How long are you going down for? Just for the day. So you're just going down for the day. What kind of group is this again? This time he's looking his head right in the car. He's just seeing who everybody is. What kind of group is this? I said, it's a group of pastors. Oh, pastors, is it? A group of pastors coming down to the... Say, okay, get ready for the quiz. What does atonement mean? You know, it caught us off. We couldn't think of what it meant. We were too frazzled. Finally, Stan Powers, our district presbyter, he says it means to cover. So it's a little weak, but it'll do. On you go. Now every time I cross, I think of that. Get ready for the quiz. Freaked us right out. We sound like we couldn't hear it as if we'd never heard it before. So we were covering our, we tried to look sophisticated. We didn't look too sophisticated. So the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16. And it teaches us some more. On this important day, the sin offering for Israel was made publicly in the court of the tabernacle. The sacrifice was in full view of the people, not like before. It's in full view of the people. But the blood of the sacrifice was taken into the most, I'll say that again. But the blood of the sacrifice was taken into the most holy place to be sprinkled before the Lord seven times by the high priest. This too was a transaction. And it was between, the transaction was between the high priest and God, and away from the eyes of the people who were to benefit by it. And so the procedure from beginning to end was designed by God. And the high priest, a type of the Lord Jesus, in obedience to God, made an atonement. And the people believed, and this that this would be what from God, and they did exactly as he had said. So we see that blood was offered in response to God's command. It was not for the human to grasp the significance in his heart to understand what it fully meant. And here is the thought, that man must simply obey and believe God's concerning it. The fact that Jesus hung on a cross, which is, he's a picture of the high priest, and he hung on the cross, we don't understand it fully. We're in awe of it. We're thinking of it. We look at it, but we don't really know much about it. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. We say, Lord, I believe. I don't know why. Because I've heard more lately things like this, that this is a bloody religion, and there is blood involved, right? That Jesus' blood, think of that. And so what is our answer? Say, well, we don't really know why it is. We know why God's purpose, but we don't know why he chose that. He could have chose almost anything. But to obey and believe God's promise, that is a wonderful thing. Individuals are often stricken with what seems to be the unbelievable guilt over some sin that looms larger in their vision than the blood of Christ. And so I deal with this all the time as a pastor, but I'm sure you do too, is that you'll run to somebody and say, oh, I've blown it. I'm not close to Christ anymore. I used to be, but I got involved in this, I got involved in that. I don't go to church anymore. And they're feeling unbelievably guilty. And I thought, what is the cure for guilt? It's not trying to give them a good feeling. There's something much bigger than that. The trouble here is that we are trying to sense things. Say, well, you're upset and you're feeling uncomfortable, but we'll try and comfort you and encourage you. I don't think that's the right way. Trying to people to sense the value and to estimate the subjectivity about what the blood is for us. We can't do it this way or that way. It's just not done that way. It's done God's way. So I have given up trying to take people's guilt away. All you can do is show them the blood that was shed for them. The blood is first for God to see, then we have to accept God's valuation of it. So the prodigal son, he cries out. What does he cry out? I have sinned against you. And he stands guilty and condemned in his conscience. But the prodigal needs more than merely feeling good about or feeling better about what he has done. And so the blood is revealed to the penitent soul as legal grounds for forgiveness. He doesn't need to know how the blood is effective. He doesn't need to know when or why he accepts what the Bible says concerning Jesus. Now, here, what would that be? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And since the blood wholly satisfies the righteous requirements of God, the believer says, amen, amen. All my sins, past, present, or future, are under the blood, and I am not guilty because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And because I'm trusting, the only reason when I go to heaven and I knock on the door and I say, hello, my name is Owen, I'm here, I've come to heaven now. You know, they say, on what basis should I let you in? Well, I could maybe come and say, well, I've been a pastor, and well, I read my Bible, and I try to witness, I can't let you in. That's not the basis of how God accepts you. You know the only one answer to that is? I'm an undeserving sinner, worthy of eternal judgment, but God had mercy on me because I believed in the finished work of the cross. I believed in the shed blood of Jesus for my sins, and that's all I've. To thy blood I cling. That's all I have. Come on in. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that unbelievable? I come through no merit of my own. I come only on his merit, on what he did and that shed blood. It's the requirement of God. And we say, amen, thank you, Lord. I'm not saved because I feel it. See, you know, I feel saved. It got nothing to do with feeling it. It has everything to do with believing it, that Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. And they were all atoned for, as Exodus tells us and as Leviticus tells us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and verse 22. I've already read this when we started. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place. Remember the holy place, there was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the most holy place. And since we have confidence to enter the holy place, why would we have confidence? By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. The blood provides continual cleansing. Why? Because all day long, I am sinning. One way or another. Aren't you? I would think so. I was neglectful. I should have done this, didn't do that. Should have prayed for that, didn't do that. Lots of things. And the end of the day, what can I say? I simply say, Lord, thank you that all my sins are atoned for. That's the power, great power of that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And it said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Small sins, large sins, black sins, white sins, sins of omission, sins of commission. All types of sins have been in my life. I would be lying if I said I've never coveted, I've never lied, I would be lying. Not that I'm proud of that track record. It's just that my sins, which are many. And so what is my confidence? Oh, I have confidence to enter boldly into the most holy place. I can skip in. I can rejoice in. Why? Because my confidence is in what the blood has done. God is satisfied because my eyes are on the crucified one. And God is satisfied, fully satisfied. He cleanses us from all sin every time in every way. And so I come. I have need of cleansing. I have need of atonement. I need my sins covered over. So I come to God on the basis of the finished work of Calvary. I approach God through his merit alone, and never on the basis of any of my attainment. Whatever I might have attained, I have no confidence in. I cannot approach God on the basis of my attainment. Never, for example, because I was kind today. Some people say, I can come boldly today because I was kind to a lot of people. I was very kind. I can't come because of that. I can't come because I was prayerful. I was very prayerful. I was very sensitive to the Spirit today. It was quite remarkable. That doesn't work either. Or I was pleasing. I pleased a lot of people today. And so, Lord, I'm just coming into your presence. I just feel good. Because I can't accept you. I can't accept you because anything you have done has no merit. It never has, it never will, never will be able to. And so I say, Lord, I come by the way of Christ. I come by the way of the blood. That's my, every time. It'll always be that way. There'll never be a time when we come on our own. We come because of what he did. And so the question is, what, after all, is the basis of approaching God? What is it? What is that? If I'm going to approach God, how am I going to do that? Extra witnessing? Deeper prayer? Or how about this? I come only because the blood has been shed and God looks at that blood and he's satisfied. God is satisfied. The blood has never changed. That's why I change. I have great days, witnessing days, praise days, lovely days, kindness days, helping other people days. I have lots of those. Some days I have bad days, lustful days, prideful days. And so if I was to go say, today I have confidence to come into the presence of Jesus. God says, I can't, you have to go because you cannot be everyone. Everyone who God accepts is clinging only to the blood of Christ, away from ourselves and onto to Jesus. The blood has never changed, and it has never lost its power. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing. It's never lost its power. The power of the blood of Christ is absolutely amazing. And so our approach to God is therefore always in boldness. Come boldly, he says in Hebrews. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to come, well, I'm not really worthy. You're not telling God anything new. I'm not very worthy, Lord. No. I know that, he would say. I know that. You don't need extra witnessing. These are all good things in themselves. But the blood never changes. It's an eternal offering. How we thank the Lord. Our approach to God is therefore always boldly. The boldness of yours, of ours, is through the blood of Christ, and never because of any human attainment. And Lord, I know that the blood has satisfied you, so the blood is enough for me, and it is my only plea. And so how many times, maybe a million times, I said, Lord, I thank you, we come through the shed blood of your Son. And we're coming with everything that we own and everything that we have and everything that we're about. We come, but it's because you died for us and you shed your blood. And so, Lord, every time I approach you, even this morning, we were praising the Lord, but that's not why we were accepted. We're not accepted because we raised our hands, or we danced, or we clapped, or we sang, or we hummed, or whatever else we might have done. You say, well, that must have, the Lord must have, no, he comes, remember, only and always and forever on the basis of his Son's death, the shed blood of Christ. And so, no conscience can be clear apart from the blood. It is the blood that gives us boldness, and it does. Because many times I don't feel worthy. You see, I know what was in my heart. I know what was in my plans that I was going to suggest to the Lord. And so I can't come on that basis. I have only one, and that's, again, the blood. The blood gives us both. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that verse that we read. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. And big sins and little sins and white sins, but not our good conduct. I can't. Now, it's not that we should go and sin in order that we'd have more reason. No, it's we are sinful, but praise God, the blood cleanses us from all sin. So don't focus. This is my thought on it. You're not focusing on how you're trying to improve yourself. You can't improve yourself. The whole thing is, Lord, I don't want to tell you something this morning. I'm bankrupt. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I only have what you have, whatever you give to me. If you don't justify me, I can't be justified. It's you. I cling forever and now and forever. I cling to the blood of Christ. You know, that gives you victory all the time. Because you're not coming because of you. You're trying to dust yourself off before you see the Lord. I'm gonna meet with the Lord, so I better look a little presentable. Try and make myself look a little righteous. And the Lord would say, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You can only come. You know, and that's why the blood was on the lintels and the doorposts, and everybody else died who came any other way. If you would come under that blood, you were safe. Any other method, any other back door, any other side door, you would not be accepted. It's the same thing in Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement. This atonement was hugely important, hugely important. And seven times it was sprinkled. Maybe that's why we like the number seven, but it was sprinkled, and it was efficient, and God honored it. And it was the Day of Atonement. Well, we thank the Lord. The blood that gives us boldness. And I don't know how about yourself, but if you are, you can come as you are here this morning. You can just come as you are. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have to spruce yourself up and make yourself look a little fancier. You can come as you are. But you have to come on one basis. It's what he did and not what you did. It's what he did, not what I did. Jesus, blessed Jesus. the older I get and the more I understand this, the more I'm deeply encouraged in the Lord that it's all because of him. I've gone through my bout where I was trying to be righteous, and it was sadly, but when I found that when I just flung myself on Christ and said, it is your righteousness, it was your shed blood. How beautiful, how wonderful. It's not through anything that we would do. And yet, you know, if you go into a New Age store, you know, where there's all these self-help things, everything is what you do. Everything is what you have to work. You have to do this and this and say that and work on that. And the Lord can't accept that at all. He can only accept that which has to do with his son. That's, by the way, that's why in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, important verse, he says, they come through the precious blood of Christ. Who's it precious to? The Father. The blood of Jesus is precious to God. And if it's precious to God, it has to be precious to me. If it's precious to him, it must be precious to me. Let me ask you a question. Is the blood precious to you? Because if it is, you will have an amazing joy in your heart that it was not because of you performed well, but that Christ performed perfectly. Amen. Let's pray about it. Lord, this morning, we come to you on only one merit, and that's what you did for us 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Lord, that the blood is on the posts, and we're clinging only to that. I pray you'll make that real to us today as we talk about it. And we thank you, Lord. And we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy, you've redeemed us. In Jesus' name we say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Maybe you'd like to, we'll take a few minutes here. You'd like to just share your understanding of the power of the blood of Christ. We'll take a moment or two. Just what was again, I want your thought on it, your feeling on it. What has God revealed to you? Not just, I really want your feeling. How has God revealed this to you, this truth?
How much time do I have?
Not much. But I said, this is what I would say. I would say God knew that I was a feeble sinner and that I would never make it on my own. So he knew that ahead of time. So he sent his son to die on the cross for me and shed his blood. And his blood has made payment for me when I'm Yes.
And the and So that was a tremendous opportunity to because the Muslims, of course, you've got to be perfect in the sight of Allah. I mean, one mistake and that's it, you're out. So I thought that was really incredible that he could see.
Yes. But the point is well made, Lance. Thank you. Somebody else? Just the preciousness to you. How is it precious?
I think that that song, that On the Throat song, was the blood that gives me on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Yes. I actually was going to, I forgot. In the earlier week, I was thinking of asking you to sing that. You need a little bit of time. So, but that's the truth of the song as well. As well, taken. And somebody else. Yes.
And it's been such a release. And it's been more than 50 years.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's a power.
So the enemy, he's thwarted when our confidence is not in how well we did or what we did or what we didn't do, but on Jesus. The enemy is thwarted. Yeah, good. She's my neighbor, so. At least outward. Please. Mike.
I don't know. I was kind of a bit lost for words. I had to go to funeral. My wife's grandmother passed away. I was asked to be one of the pallbearers, which was kind of overwhelming. I didn't know how to handle it. And carrying the casket and stuff, in the open casket, it was kind of overwhelming. I was overburdened with I didn't know what to say. I was kind of lost for words. Like, who am I to judge, like, just to tell you to be a Christian, to accept Jesus before you pass into eternity? Because she's going to be gone from the earth. She's into eternity now. And it was heart-wrenching for me because I didn't know what to say. I was trying to, I was fumbling for words, trying to tell her, you know, the assurance of Christ. Kind of nervous, like, who am I to judge that person because she was a Catholic? Like, does God judge her? Am I going to judge her? I'm not going to judge her. Like, I felt a little shaken up a little bit. But anyways, I pray she's with the Lord now.
Well, we learn on these things. You know, that's you have experience like that, and you build on that. Sometimes you don't get opportunities to explain the Gospels. Wish we did, but we don't always. Somebody else? In the balcony, down below. Such a good plan. we'll tell him that this morning. That's such a good plan you have. But it is. It's the perfect plan. God is glorified and satisfied, and we are saved. It's unbelievable. And the boldness that gives you, when you're not trusting in your own goodness. Okay, another one.
Just, it's what Christ did, and it just sets you free and unburdens you from
over the years, I've had people say, well, how come that you are going to waltz into heaven? And what makes you guys think you're so right? You know how you evangelicals, how come you think you're so right on this thing? You're going to go into heaven. And of course, my answer is, well, we are. But I said, not because in the way you think. We're not going to heaven because we're worthy. Just the other thing, we might be less worthy than you. In terms of your personal righteousness may be greater than mine. I said, we're coming on one purpose and one way alone. And that's because undeserving sinners have received a free gift. Just received a free gift. I said, that's why we don't guess if we're going to heaven. We know, right? We never have a problem. We never think of it. Oh, of course I am. Why? Because I'm clinging to Christ. Today, tomorrow, forever, I'm clinging to Christ. Lord, thank you. Of course I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm clinging to Christ. It's a sealed deal. It's done. And because we were so good. I said, we are undeserving. It's not that. It's not because of our church or because we're evangelicals or because we're Pentecostals. We are undone people who have believed. And because of that, I said, we're on our way rejoicing. Okay, we'll take one more. Yeah, please, John. Yes.
We don't understand it. I don't know why God put his son on the cross.
Yeah.
But he did. I believe it by faith. Part of it in witnessing is we don't know why he did it. He did it. And by faith, I trust God.
Yes.
I'm going there by faith, not anything that who I am.
And it remains consistent. It never changes, never loses its power. And even when when you're doing any demon deliverance, if you ever had any involvement with that, to be able to say, by the blood of Jesus, the demons hate that theme. Just as we rejoice in it, demons hate anything with to do with the blood of Christ because it's so powerful in every way. Is there what? We'll take one more and then we'll close it. Vic, I'm sorry we didn't have you sing. Just next time. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. So great is salvation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It is under the blood. My sins are under the blood. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray that this week as we live for you, we're not living by our own merits, but by the one that saved us and will deliver us, will take us safely to heaven. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you come to the coffee place this morning? I think it's going to be nice temperature, and we'd love to fellowship with you if we could. So see you on the patio.